Welcome to the Hilltop United Methodist Church podcast. Hilltop is located in Sandy, Utah, 985 East, 10,600 South. Locals would say 106th. Our two worship services are at 9 o'clock and 10:30. Hope to see you this Sunday. God bless. Bye-bye.
Today's scripture reading is from the book of Acts. Chapter 2, verses 1 to 13, on page 119 in the New Testament of your pew Bible. When the day of Pentecost had come, they were all together in one place. And suddenly from heaven there came a sound like the rush of a violent wind, and it filled the entire house where they were sitting. Divided tongues as a fire appeared among them, and a tongue rested on each of them. All of them were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other languages, as the Spirit gave them ability. Now there were devout Jews from every nation under heaven living in Jerusalem. And at this sound, the crowd gathered and was bewildered, because each one heard them speaking in the native language of each. Amazed and astonished, they asked, "Are not these who are speaking Galileans? And how is it that we hear, each of us, in our own native language? Parthians, Medes, Elamites, and residents of Mesopotamia, Judea, and Cappadocia, Pontus and Asia, Phrygia and Pamphylia, Egypt and the parts of Libya belonging to Cyrene, and visitors from Rome, both Jews and proselytes, Cretans and Arabs. In our own languages, we hear them speaking about God's deeds of power." All were amazed and perplexed, saying to one another, "What does this mean?" But others sneered and said, "They are filled with new wine." This is the word of God for the people of God.
Thanks be to God. Amen.
This passage has created a lot of thought and a lot of reflection, a lot of history in and of itself. We have categories of churches that are called Pentecostal churches, largely based upon these 13 verses. Stratmore Hills United Methodist Church in Colorado Springs, I had some visitors there one day. They were visiting a grandparent or a great aunt or something that was going on. And I made the comment that we don't know exactly how many people were in the room. And it was just, they were agah over this. Oh, we do know how many people were in the room. They had a number they were all set up for. They were prepared. They knew everything about it. I tried to explain that, how I understood that, but it was irrelevant. The point really is how important their understanding of this passage was to their understanding of theology. Now, it's important for us to understand this theology in this passage that even though we call it the church's birthday, it's not like it's just the creation of the church, because the church is created on the roots, on the base that is the Hebrew Bible, the God that Jesus worshiped. It's that element of that. It's important for us to keep that in our mind. And this particular day, Pentecost, the 50th day, means the 50th day after the celebration of Passover. And the Christians appropriated and brought it in because it was the 50th day after Easter is when they started doing it. But it was a day that was set aside in the Jewish tradition to honor the giving of the law. The law was passed down to Moses in Exodus with lots of clouds and flame and lightning bolts. You've all seen the movie, Ten Commandments, right? I mean, it's this... voice that's very powerful, lots of things that are going on up there, and that's what's happening there in 1400 years before Christ, 1500 years before Christ. But now we have this other one that's going on. It's a little bit of a restatement of a giving of a new covenant. A new covenant is being given out. The first covenant, this other covenant, is being given in the form of the Ten Commandments. And now we have this new covenant that's being given here with lots of noise and lightning bolts and all of this. Now, the Galileans were understood in their world to be much like Americans and French. They spoke one language. And so that's the comment that you hear there is, what the heck's going on? These are Galileans. It's almost like they could say, what the heck's going on? These are Americans speaking our language. That's almost what it would be the equivalent of. And, excuse me, and they're able to understand in their own language. and they're quite surprised. Now, the interesting part of that passage is the fact that, what the heck's going on here? What does this all mean? And there's some that are prepared to mean that it's something going on that it's hard to understand. And there's another group that's going on that says, you know, they're just filled with new wine. Living in Germany, one of the festivals we go to there is the fact that you can go to this festival and you can have new wine. It's basically about 1 year old. It's like, it tastes like grape juice. Warning, it is not grape juice. Okay? It is pretty powerful stuff. It'll knock you back for a loop. You almost have to check into a hotel in order to find your way back home again because it's so powerful. So the question is, what's going on here? What's going on? What does this mean? Are you one of the ones who says it's new wine? Are you one of the ones who says it's perhaps being filled by the Holy Spirit? Now, for those of you that are willing to be open to the idea this is being filled by the Holy Spirit, I would invite you to ask the question of, where is the Holy Spirit in our lives? What is going on with that? And in this particular passage, and again with Paul in 1 Corinthians, when he talks about the gifts of the Spirit, it's obvious that the focus here of the gift of the Spirit is focused on community. This is something that happens in community. It's not only what happens to individuals. It does happen to individuals. But nonetheless, it also is what happens in community. In 1 Corinthians, Paul would even say that this gift of the Holy Spirit is built up and presented for the common good. For the common good. And you see that, you can see how Paul would get to that based upon what happens here in Acts. Because the common good that's served is the fact that now God's word in various languages can be carried back out into the rest of the world and be blessed by carrying that. Now, I want to do a little abbreviated because we've got a lot of stuff going on today, but I think there's important things for us to take from this overall passage that applies to us in today's world. One I offer as an illustration from John Ortberg, who's a Presbyterian pastor in California. And he observes that we could understand the gift of the Holy Spirit in three ways, one of which is almost like it's non-existent. The first way might be that we're in Boston, and you want to get away from Boston, and you've been given a rowboat. You've been given a rowboat, and you want to get to Boston, and you set about getting to England in your rowboat just as hard as you can. You sit down in the rowboat, and you grind away. Now, can you actually get to England in a rowboat? Maybe. It'd be a lot of work. It'd be real dangerous, a lot of work. You'd have a lot of storms you'd have to go through and all that. It's possible, but even if you did make it, it was going to be a lot of work for you to go do that. Now, who's in control of that, God or you? All right? Now, the second one is that you could be in Boston, and you could have him haul you out to where the currents and the wind gets a hold of you, and you can say, I'm going to go wherever the current and the wind carries me. God's grace is sufficient. That's all I need. I don't need a direction. God will carry me where God wants to carry me. Now, Ortberg suggests that that's two opposite ends of the same issue, which is, one is you're operating as if there is no Holy Spirit at all, and all depends on you, and you're operating at the other end as if all of it depends entirely on God, and you have no action involved in this. And what Ortberg suggests is that for us to understand is that it's more like we might want to make this journey instead of in a rowboat, we want to be in a sailboat. We have an idea what our destination is, but we still have to use that sailboat in such a way that as the wind carries us around, God's breath, God's wind, God's ruach, God's pneuma, God's Holy Spirit, God's breath carries us along, and it moves us along, we still are tacking along, and the speed and the rate in which we're doing this is under the control of God. But we're collaborators. We're a collaborative effort. We're doing this journey with God. And Ortberg suggests that's the way for us to understand this. So point number one is for us to recognize that God is a collaborator in this journey that we have. The second point for us is that this nature of these languages here. Now, Jack crossed me up a little bit, as Jack is wont to do. But we had up here that it was going to be Tongan. By the time you got to see it, it had been changed over to English because he knew Sione wasn't going to be here. But nonetheless, the point really was that in all of this, when John was reading the Russian, when Mary Jean was reading Italian, when Grace was reading the Spanish, you had the words up there in English so you could have an idea of what they were. God's language, the language of God, can transcend the languages that we have. They're more powerful than that. And we don't have to rely on our own understanding of that. You can indeed allow God's word to be able to speak to the people in their own language. So the point number one is let God be a collaborator in this process. Number two is to understand that God's language is going to reach the nations of this world. The third thing for us, though, to understand is both this idea of common good and community is how this nature of the Holy Spirit can change. This community at the beginning of this segment is terrorized. They're quaking in their boots. Now, I don't know about you, but my readings of Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, I would think the least likely suspect that I would have to, even though Jesus has said, Peter, you're the rock, you're the Petra upon which I'm going to build the church. Peter doesn't strike me as the kind of guy that would have that happen. And what happens after this gift of the Holy Spirit comes out? Bam! It comes out and he is able to coalesce through scripture, through preaching, that he is able to change that nature and start building the church right there in the rest of Acts. The church starts getting built. Peter does that. My point is that there are times that when the power of the Holy Spirit comes, that the community is able to do things they did not think they would be able to do before, and individually they are able to do things that they were not able to do before. I've told many of you that you've heard me offer this many times before in the past. When I was 18 years old, the idea of speaking in front of other people terrorized me. It terrorized me. I was scared to death of that. I could not imagine doing that on a regular basis. Somehow teaching a high school band, I thought that would be okay. I could do that. But standing in front of 200 people and talking about something as complicated as religion or theology was a concept I just could not wrap my mind around, even into my 40s. And God's Holy Spirit has come and blessed me on that. My point is, sometimes you're able to do things individually and corporately that you didn't think you could do because God is with you on that journey. We're going to have some young people join the church in a few moments. I've already had three join earlier. We have three young people going to join as confirmands this morning. And we're going to make an exception and let their two family members be transferred in at the same time. But the church is a place of nurture. The church should be a place where you can come in and you can be prepared to say, help me, teach me, bring me along. And the language of the church should be one that allows us to hear that in our own language and are able to understand where God is carrying us as long as we are still faithful to this book.
Hilltop is located in Sandy, Utah. 985 East, 10,600 South. Locals would say 106th. Our two worship services are at 9 o'clock and 10:30. Hope to see you this Sunday. God bless. Bye-bye.